All right, so we're in Pleasance Courtyard with two of the cast and the director of Play for September, which is written and also stars Olivia Hurst. And it's the story of a schoolgirl crush that progresses into a teenage romance that goes in a whole different direction after that. It's probably one of the more intense hours you can spend at lunchtime. But it's also incredibly funny, thanks to the relationship and banter between Olivia and Rihanna. And, you know, maybe you guys could talk a little bit about the banter first. Do feel free to actually hold this thing, so I'm not like...
I'll hold it, right. It kind of started in rehearsals. We are actually just very good friends as well, so that kind of helps.
That does help.
We're very silly. We mess about in rehearsals. There is obviously a script in there, and we did once know the script, but now we're not quite sure where that lies anyway. Yeah.
I've got to ask, right, one of the really clever things in the show is you show the progression of time on the board, right? And it goes like, you know, from the end of 2003 to the start of 2005. But today someone put 84 up. Is that the first ever instance of someone fluffing their lines that they're actually writing down?
No, that's just it's like a joke that they play on the teacher. So they just change the date to play a joke on the teacher.
I missed that. Okay, you see, it's like a turn of landscape. There's always more in there than you imagine. But maybe you could talk a little bit, Olivia, about where the play comes from.
Yeah, it's based on, basically, sorry, and very honestly, it's based on what happened to me and my best friend when I was at school. So it's a true story, give or take, dramatised bit. So yeah, it's very similar to what happened to me and my best friend. So she decided to have a relationship with a teacher, which was traumatic at the time, but made for a good play 10 years later.
And you in this play the friend who had the relationship rather than the friend who ends up guilt-ridden. That seems quite an easy way to get rid of emotional baggage.
It is, but I don't know how it ended up that way. I look slightly older than Rihanna, well, a lot older than her, which is one of the reasons, and Rihanna had already learnt the lines for the other part. So it seemed cruel to make her learn the other lines when I came in. So we just left it as it was.
And the relationship with the teacher on stage, how true is that to life as you saw it?
The relationship between Kay and the teacher? It's quite an honest portrayal of how it was at the time.
You know, you've got a fantastic actor playing the teacher who really, you know, it's not the most sympathetic of portrayals in some ways. How deliberate is that?
I'm not sure. Like, well, yeah, I'm really bad at answering questions, but...
My favourite thing about these interviews is they always end up where as soon as you turn the thing off, everyone starts talking brilliantly and then fluidly. You know, you should really hang around afterwards.
What was the question? So I'll repeat it.
What was the directorial decision when it came to directing the male character?
Basically, what I didn't want from it was that I didn't want it to be obvious, and I wanted us to feel almost sorry for him. Because he's vulnerable as well, and looking on it from a completely different point of view from the writer and everything, and ask that, but I wanted to know why the girls liked him, like, you know what I mean, like, so why he must have been funny, he must have been a fun guy, he's their friend, and he needs to be nice, and the audience needs to like him to feel betrayed at the end of the play. That makes sense.
I don't know, other people will make their own, you know. But it's interesting because the play does really centre on the Gooseberry character, whereas normally the Gooseberry is the sort of foil. So what's that like to play as? Because you get to be funny, you get to be self-doubting, but you also get to be the voice of righteous indignation.
it's a great part to play. It's got everything you'd ever want as an actor. It's a fantastic part. It's got all the ups and downs, and it's great for me to play. I love it. But it comes with a lot of responsibility. It's carrying the whole play, and because I know it's a true story and I know the true events, it's about the responsibility of not overdoing it, or not clicheing it, or making it ridiculous. It's just trying to make it a true portrayal of what happened, but also entertaining. And it's that thin line of, rather than just showing what happened as an onlooker, it's still theatre. It was still there to entertain. The balance still has to be there. So it's a great part, but it's hard as well.
But it is a personal memory, and you know, at the curtain call, you were teetering on the edge of tears. I mean, that wasn't acting. How is it to do? That's deep. What is it like? Is that like reliving it, or is it like letting it go?
It's interesting because emotion, very basically the bare bones, and emotionally it's true, the story, but it's transcended so through so much rehearsal and so many workshops, and we've messed around with it so much, it's actually really different to real life. So essentially the events are true, but how it actually, it's very different from real life, but at the same time, it's not, they're two separate things now. There's the play and there's real life, and my real memories, and it's kind of, yeah, it's very clear cut. You'd think it would blend together, but it doesn't. It's very clear what I know exactly what happened, and I know what's made up.
I never make suggestions, but have you not thought of like giving the audience something to throw at the teacher at the end? I kind of really felt I needed to throw something at him.
That could be in the curtain call.
Yeah, maybe we should put like that. Sweets and paper under your desk, so when she wrecks the room,
I just eat them.
True.
You don't want to eat those ones. They've been on the floor too much.
We did. His girlfriend came to see it once, and she had a really hard time kissing him and hugging him afterwards because he was like, "I can't do it. You're weird."
She won't let him do the voice. He's got, because he puts his northern accent on. She won't let him do the bowed voice anymore.
But you're very method, because you've still got your northern accent on.
I do, because I'm from the north. I can't deny it.
Okay, I don't really know where to go next with the question, but what we see, though, is the progression of the relationship between the two girls, and the way that it builds from, you know, quite an innocent schoolgirl friendship to something much more, you know, deep and lasting. And without giving away any spoilers, by the end of the play, it's clear that the two characters are now living lives that aren't brought together by school. Is that a reflection of reality? Or?
Yeah, it is. I found it really interesting looking back at how there was something, the same thing that made us so close. So this secret, this big secret that we had, or this event made us so close as friends at the time. But the same thing dragged you apart in the end. You can't, because it's too much somehow. I can't really explain it. I tried to write a play to explain it, and the play didn't really explain it. But yeah, the thing that made you so close is now tears you apart in the end. It's strange how that happens, but it happens.
I think that's a pretty good point to stop the interview on. it's going to be all downhill from here. We do like to finish these things by asking, is there a show that you would recommend your audience go and see after they've seen your show 5 or 7 times?
I really like Ballad of the Burning Star.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
100%.
Yeah, we rated that quite highly.
Yeah, it's
amazing. So the listeners already know about that, right?
No,
that's the next one.
Okay, The Veil at Pleasant Stone by
Lucy
Hopkins, possibly. Sorry, Lucy. It's great. It's fantastic. She's fantastic.
It's like a one-woman show about art, but it's just great.
It takes the piss out of why people create art, and then people often ask us why we have put on this show and why we bother, and we'd like to answer that question with that show.
Yeah,
because it's great.
Wow, that's another deep one. Just so people know, by the way, people are serious when they do recommend the show. Henry Blofeld standing there in the queue to Giles Brandreth, which when he did the interview for this, he said he was going to go and see. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
Guys, thank you very much for talking with Fringe Review.
Thank you very much. Thanks.